Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. New book today. Gospel of Mark, New Testament, chapter 1, verse 1. Did you know the word testament was not in the original manuscripts? The word was covenant. And covenant means the eternal promise of God. I believe it was Jerome who changed it. The same thing with the old. It was the old covenant. It's a blood covenant. God passed through the animal parts, the bloody parts, and promised Abraham that through his seed would come the Messiah, and that's the old covenant. The new covenant came true when Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Testament is a good word, but covenant's even better. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give a picture of Jesus, and all are correct. Matthew tells us that Jesus is King of Kings. Luke gives us Jesus as man, but without sin. John tells us that Jesus is God. But the Mark that we study today tells us of Jesus as a servant ruler. The word Mark is Latin, and it means man of wars. But it's Mark's surname. His real name is John, which means a gift from God. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, you'll find that Mark was a teenager, and he had a gracious mother. She was one of the Marys, you know, the Mary ladies. And she would often entertain Jesus and the disciples in her home. And while Mark was not exactly a disciple, he was a teenager, he got to absorb all of the beautiful truths of Jesus. You'll notice he's going to say immediately, straightway, anon. This is because he had an enthusiastic personality and he wants to get on with the good stuff. So he does kind of a survey at first, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to other Gospels and bring it in so we have it complete. Mark, like any young person, wants to get you to his hero, Jesus, and watch Jesus preach and watch Jesus do these miracles. Mark was also the brother of Barnabas, you know, in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas. And Mark is considered to be one of the older Gospels written. So now we begin. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 2. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He is quoting here from Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. And it's a prophecy of the first advent of Jesus. God says, I am coming to the temple, meaning God, and coming as Messiah, and I'm going to send someone before me. He will be the messenger of my covenant. There in Malachi, he actually uses the word covenant, the eternal promise of God. So he says, before I come, I'm going to send someone to announce me, to introduce me.
I shall prepare thy way before thee. 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
And that is a prophecy from Isaiah. So we have two great prophets here, Malachi and Isaiah, saying that before Jesus came the first time, there would be a messenger to come and say that this is the Messiah. He's come, and I want all of you to get ready to receive him.
Make his path straight. 4. John did baptize in the wilderness.
So who was the messenger? John the Baptist, baptizing in the wilderness. That was one of the prophecy there. All right, so it's John the Baptist. Now, we've heard of John the Baptist. We know in our Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, God told Zechariah and Elizabeth, John's mother, that John the Baptist would have the anointing of Elijah. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And he was 6 months older than Jesus.
priest, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
So John the Baptist came and said, you have sinned, I want you to repent of your sins. So see, we need that right now in America. We need a John the Baptist going up and down the land, stopping all this nonsense and saying, America, you've sinned, repent of your sins. And that's what happened to the children of Israel, our forefathers.
And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem.
I mean, they came in multitudes. They were leaving the temple and going out there. You see, the people knew they had sinned. They didn't know what to do. And they would go in there and pay their little animal sacrifices to the money-grubbing priest there. And they needed forgiveness, and they knew there was a Messiah coming. See, when people get so deep in sin, they want somebody to come and tell them there's a way to get this sin weight off of you.
Baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey.
Now, isn't that interesting? In 2 Kings, we see another beautiful, colorful character who wore camel's hair and who ate locusts and wild honey. And his name was Elijah the prophet. He had a powerful anointing. He called fire down from heaven. The thing about Elijah the prophet, he never died. God took him up in a whirlwind. That was Hebrew. The whirlwind is a chariot of fire. God is a consuming fire. So his body was transfigured. We have proof of that in Matthew 17 when Peter, James, and John saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration in their transfigured body. So therefore, Elijah never died. Now, what does that have to do with John the Baptist? In the book of Luke, God told Zechariah and Elizabeth, John's mother, that your son will have the anointing of Elijah. In the Gospel of John, which I taught in here about a year ago and on the radio, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, the prophets say that Elijah must come before you. They were quoting Malachi chapter 4, where God says, behold, I send my prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers, plural, to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, plural. Okay, so the disciples said in John, Jesus, Elijah's supposed to come, but where is he? So Jesus said, I say unto you, Elijah has already come. John the Baptist would be Elijah if they had received him. So Jesus says that the spirit and anointing of Elijah was placed into the body of John the Baptist, and so that's the Elijah anointing. This ministry, I say humbly, has the Elijah anointing. The Elijah anointing always tells you there are two fathers. You notice Malachi 4? He'll turn the heart of the fathers to the children. It's not talking about earthly dad and son. Fathers, plural. There's God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're his children. But in the garden, Satan beguiled Eve, exopatio, wholly seduced, and Cain was a child, and the descendants of Cain are the Kenites, and they're taken over the land. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, I'm so afraid as Satan beguiled Eve, exopatio, wholly seduced her, that so is the Antichrist going to seduce you when he comes pretending to be Jesus. So we have enough evidence right now. Now, Jesus, before the second coming of Jesus, again, the anointing of Elijah will go and prepare the way before him. The anointing of Elijah on whoever it is God would have will tell the people that there are two fathers. This is how you know that is the anointing of Elijah. So John the Baptist was Elijah. What about the locust? In Leviticus chapter 11, God tells us the food that we can eat and cannot eat. Now, it's not a sin if you eat the wrong thing. You'll just go to heaven soon and make you sick. God created these bodies. He knows what's right for them. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't change the food laws. He didn't die about that. And so one of the things that you can eat is locust. By the way, I'd like to invite everybody on the sound of my voice over to my school for a nice locust dinner. I don't know how to cook it.
And he preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy, stoop down and unloose.
What happened? John the Baptist saw they were trying to make a rock star out of him. There were multitudes coming to him. Anytime multitudes come to see a person, like a politician, they try to make a rock star out of him. And half the time, they're a bad star. But John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. He wanted to make sure that they were coming to hear him introduce Jesus and not to give attention to himself. That takes a lot of humility to do that.
8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Jesus himself said, I have a baptism with which to baptize you. It is the baptism of fire. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And the spirit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is fire. It's fire in your bones, and it exudes through your bones. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. You sing, the anointing falls down. You preach and the power of God comes in, and you change the atmosphere. There's a fire, there's a fire, there's a fire. Now, the water baptism is important. It is a picture word. Sometimes a word's worth a thousand picture's worth a thousand words. It is a picture symbol, multitude, that you believe that Jesus died, so you go under the water, and that Jesus arose again. But that's good. You should do that, and before people to confess. But you cannot live the Christian life successfully unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you, but that's not necessarily the baptism. Many Christians go their whole life never turning the power button on. And all the while, the Holy Spirit's there. Just yield and let him fill you up.
9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan.
And John said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Remember, he said, I send my message to prepare the way. World, I'd like to introduce you to the Lamb of God. This is Jesus, the Passover Lamb. Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. He's come, he's going to pay the sin debt, he's going to die, he's going to rise again. And the Elijah anointed before the second coming of God will be all over the airwaves and say, Behold, behold, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming at the seventh trump.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus did ask John to baptize him, and John was hesitant about baptizing him. John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Jesus says, I'm a way shower. I want to show everybody that they should be water baptized. It's a picture symbol that they believe in me, that I died and rose again.
10. And straightway cometh up out of the water.
There's Mark straightway, immediately.
He saw the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him.
He comes up out of the water, the heavens open like a scroll, and this beautiful dove comes and lights on Jesus. We just finished the beautiful book of Jonah, which means dove, which means the anointing of the Holy Spirit. At that point, Jesus was anointed. The word Christ, we call him Jesus Christ. Christ in the Greek is Christos, means the anointed one. At that point, the anointing of Almighty God came on Jesus, and it was the baptism. Well, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We have one God, but we have them operating in three different offices, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So in this beautiful picture, we have the Son coming up out of the baptismal water. We have the Holy Spirit like a dove anointing Jesus. Where is the Father?
11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
And there he is. Well, you have one, you have the other. You know, I would not be surprised in the future heaven on earth when we go into the throne room to worship our Lord, that we see a beautifully framed picture, maybe framed with silver light. And it'll be Jesus coming up out of the baptism pool, the dove anointing him, and the words of our Father there. That picture's worth a thousand words. Now that's a word picture for you. I know that that meant a lot to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I know it still means a lot to them. It means a lot to me just to try to paint it for you.
12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness.
Uh-oh, he's got the anointing now. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, Messiah, the Anointed One. As soon as you get a new degree of the anointing, or a new gift, like he gives you the gift of healing. Remember, Scott, we prayed for you the gift of healing, and the next thing you got to heal a goldfish. Okay, and then you go to people. You get a chance to exercise that. In other words, don't be surprised that the trials come your way. He's just given you a gift. He's given you a new anointing, and he's going to give you a chance to check it out. I found that after every trauma that I go through, which is a kind of a lifetime of them, then the anointing is higher, and then I get more testing. But that's good. He just wants you to test it. So Jesus goes into the wilderness.
13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days.
Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He did without food. Now, why would Jesus need to fast? He's already perfect. You and I fast so we can find God's answer, or we need some help somewhere. Jesus fasted to create a weakness within himself. He had no weakness. He was perfect. In order to show you and to show me that he could fast and last and still overcome Satan's temptation, he had to create a weakness in himself. So food is a good weakness. So there he is, 40 days, and he's hungry. Well, guess who's going to show up? Johnny on the spot.
Satan was with a wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him.
Satan comes right away and says all kind of snarky things to Jesus, and each time Jesus answered the same way I'm telling you to answer your problems. Jesus said, it is written, then Jesus quoted the scripture. You have to do the same thing. Whatever the problem is, I don't care how secular it seems, how worldly it seems, it is written in Jesus' name. Find the Bible verse and stick with that. That's how you do it. That's the way he told us to do it. That's the way Jesus did it. Well, Satan realized that Jesus was quoting scripture. So Satan said, I'm going to trick him. I'm going to use a scripture and twist it. So Satan used the 91st Psalm and added three little words at any time. So Satan said to Jesus, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why don't you jump off that temple up there? And everybody will see that you're God, because he's going to give his angels charge over you, lest at any time you break your foot against a stone. At any time is not in Psalm 91. He twisted the words. In other words, if I'm foolish enough to go jump off this building, I'm probably going to break something. You see what I'm saying? So Satan twisted the word. But Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that way he got rid of Satan. And Michael took him behind the throne, where he's been accusing the brethren ever since. There were also demons there tempting Jesus. But then when Jesus overcame, the fast was over. The angels served Jesus. They probably made him some nice pancakes.
Now after that, John was put in prison.
John the Baptist wasn't long for this earth. He was put in prison, would later on be beheaded.
Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand.
So John is in prison. When one door closes, God says, I have another more profound. Here comes Jesus preaching the kingdom of God. And the crowds come, and there's Jesus, and he says, it is written. He says, the time is come. That means God took his day planner and looked at his schedule and said, right now, this minute, the kingdom is on earth. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a king and his kingdom. Jesus is the king. He's standing there, and his dominion is out before him. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is come to earth. When Jesus came to earth in the flesh, the kingdom of God came down here. We pray that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I tell you, Christians, the kingdom of God is all around you. If you could see with your spiritual eyes, right here in this holy place, in this Bethel,
in my school here, out on the radio, angels are flying around, heavenly hosts and scrolls, and angels are forming to protect people. And somewhere in people's bodies, even out of the inner space, I'm going to pray for you. Already there's formation going on your body to recreate something in your body that's missing. The kingdom is at hand. But Christians, you don't know that. You think the devil's in charge. No. The King is here. He's with you. You have the victory.
Amen.
Can't he and believe the gospel? 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net.
Simon's name means a hearing, and Andrew means manly.
Into the sea, for they were fishers. 17. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Jesus is now is going to get his presidential cabinet. He's going to call 12 men, and he's going to teach them. They're called disciples. And then when he ascends back to heaven, he will send them and call them apostles.
18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him.
Immediately, Peter and Andrew left their nets. They forsook what they were doing. They forsook their lifestyle. Jesus said, except you hate father, mother, sister, brother, husband, child, daughter, you cannot enter into my kingdom. You cannot be used of me. Hate is a strong word, but in the Greek it means love less. In other words, there should be no one, no place, no thing. If God tells you on a dime to stop this and go there, you do it. Now, most of you who are married and are called, or you knew your calling. I run into this all the time. Do not leave your spouse and do not break up your home. You'll have to make the most of it. But Paul said it's better not to marry. In other words, you're supposed to leave all the worldly desires, all of the fleshly things, if you're called and chosen of God, and be willing. I left a guaranteed income, and I've lived by faith all these years, and I'm still going strong and paying my bills and giving money to the poor and giving money to God. And that, see, my point was, you'll never lose if you trust God. But you're not supposed to put a person first. Oh, my young people, be careful. Don't just get hooked up just to get hooked up. Put God first. Let God bring your friends into your life. Then if he's got that equally yoked person, he'll bring them to you. Then you won't have that confusion. So they just immediately forsook all. Don't forget, Peter was a married man. We're going to find that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And he's leaving his business. Just walking off, following Jesus. How did Jesus know that Peter and Andrew were qualified? 2 Peter chapter 3, I just taught that book, The World That Then Was, when Lucifer rebelled, Isaiah 14. The small group of people, Revelation 12, who fought for God. God sent them out in each generation to proclaim the oracles of truth. And Peter and Andrew were those. So see, he didn't have to interview them. The reason, you say, wonder why God chose that person as a child. God already knew you. He knows the ones that did not betray him then. You think he's going to choose someone that will betray him? He's going to give you a chance to love him. He's going to give you a chance to prove you won't betray him because he's that good. But no, when he's got his word to go out, he's going to choose somebody he's already been tested. So he could trust them, and they trusted him.
19. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, also were in the ship mending their nets.
Commercial fishermen, their job, money.
And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him.
Well, at least Zebedee must have been rather affluent because he could afford some hired service. So they left the father. See, Peter and Andrew left the work, the money, and James and John left the family. I don't mean to do away with your family. That's not what I'm trying to say. But before you make a family, you should get this thing straightened out. If you've already gotten yourself in a mess of that, just pray that everybody will get saved. Now, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I can tell you the truth, and I know this from experience. When I heard the truth, I knew it was the truth, although I'd been brought up in church and knew bits and pieces. When I heard the real truth of the shepherd's voice, I knew it. And you could never, ever, ever cause an elect to turn away from that voice. We follow our shepherd. We know him.
And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught.
Capernaum, city of compassion.
22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. 23.
What was Jesus is the living word. He taught the word. Book, chapter, verse, and line. He would say, Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and so forth. The Word is the authority. The scribes and Pharisees would say, well, this person says, now this person said, I heard this denomination said this, I heard this one said this, this translation says this, this translation says that. No, the Word is the authority. And when you go to an assembly, you want to make sure that what you're getting is word, book, chapter, verse, line by line. The word is the authority. You don't need to hear any ifs or any explanations or any testimonies or any books about the book or any other philosophies. The word is the final authority. The word will live forever, and the word is Jesus Christ.
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out.
Now, there was a man in there that had a demon. We're going to find out he's got lots of demons, and he makes a loud noise. Many times people who have demons do upset a service. I've had them in here. Sometimes they growl. Sometimes they grunt. Sometimes they giggle like little hyenas. But they make a noise, and the reason is that they are aware of the anointing, and the anointing destroys the yoke. When a demon is aware that a man or woman has the anointing on them, that means Jesus has painted himself on that man or woman. The demon gets afraid because he can see Jesus on that person, and the demons all know Jesus, that he has power to run them out of their little stolen house.
24, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?
They knew that if Jesus cast them out and said, go to the abyss, that was a death sentence for them. They didn't want that.
I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.
See, the demons fear and tremble. They know that. They also know the anointing of a person, even people who maybe just have a little demon. Christians open themselves to demons all the time. If you give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. It's by what you watch on television or your cell phone or your computer or what you hear or where you go. In other words, you have to keep your house clean all the time. Any kind of a wrong picture will open a door to them. And if they can get their foot in there, they'll get it in there. I've had people come in here and they were so demonized that there was nothing left but a demon of them. I've had others that they were layers and layers of demons, but the person was in there. And then others that have just got one that's oppressing them. And that sort of thing is interesting. The last 8 years in the United States of America, many of the people you saw on the news were nothing but walking demons. The demons had so taken over some of these politicians that because I can see beyond the veil, I could see snakes coming out of them. But the demons are afraid of the anointing, afraid of that light. Scott Merson came in here a couple of years ago, and he was new. I talked to him on the telephone. I knew he was a man of God. The Holy Spirit showed me that he was a chosen vessel and that we were supposed to meet and work together. But he came up for the first time on the bench. His family was not here that day. And it was his first time for me to pray for him. I anointed with oil. And the power of God came on me. And a great, beautiful word of prophecy was coming on me for Scott. I began it. And two ladies near the front started giggling like hyenas. Just like that. Well, I had to stop the show and ask them to be quiet. But they didn't be quiet. Finally, I said, whoa, this is demons. So I said, excuse me, Scott. Now, he's the first, this is his first time. I thought, this man's never coming back. And I said, excuse me. So then I had to say, in the name and the power of Jesus, peace be still, stop. Peace be still, peace be still, peace be still. And they got quiet. What was that? When the Holy Spirit came on me, that was the anointing. They got scared. And then the Holy Spirit anointed, they saw it come on Scott. They were doubly afraid. And so they were terrified that the demons was going to be discovered in them. I've watched them. I've watched with Christians who have them. They'll kind of sit and peer around watching me to see if I can see the demon in them. I can.
Amen. 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace.
Mean, be quiet.
Come out of him. 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him.
He had to obey. They don't go easily because they know that's a death sentence. They'll even often ask the person casting them out to let them go into another body, like the body of a pig. Remember that parable.
Verse 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned the man and said, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.
The winds and the waves obey his will. Peace, peace, be still. The hot winds of demons obey him. The wells of the flood of lies of Satan obey him. And you, Christian, Luke 10, 18 and 19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, that's devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, next week, Mark is going to take us quickly into lots of miracles that Jesus performed. God bless Mark. Enjoy it, Mark. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers. Understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing really good, Miss Sherry. I mean, Mark, what a book. Just moves, moves, moves.
Move, move, move. I know it.
Amen. Okay, so our first question. Is Satan behind all this gender confusion nowadays?
Satan is always behind any kind of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Yes, Satan is trying to confuse everybody so they won't know whether they're a girl or a boy. What he's trying to do is, time is short. He knows from the first earth age that every soul's got to come through one time, born of women, in the second earth age before the lake of fire. So he's trying to block that. Because two men can't have a baby, two women can't have a baby, and if you don't know what you are, you're probably not going to be interested in having a baby. And of course, it's all ridiculous. And he tried to do the same thing there in the garden when he beguiled Eve. He wanted to have the first son so that the first son would be polluted so the Messiah would not come. Yes, he's the one. He's the culprit there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, excuse me, go into your bathroom, take your clothes off. You're either a girl or a boy. That's what God said, and that's the final authority. Okay. Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The end of the age will be marked by a separation between those who serve God and those who do not. We are giving up our divinely assigned authority and allowing the enemy to create demonic strongholds just because we refuse to teach and activate the power of God's word through Christ's blood. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Awake, you old sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Redeeming the time, awake, O sleeper. Amen. Sounds like Jonah. Thank you, Scott. That is so very beautiful. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but before we do, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask that Jesus' blood will wash away all my sins.
Cleanse me.
And fill me with the Holy Spirit. Grow me in the Word. Use me to enlarge your territory. Jesus is Lord. Thank you and I love you.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave that message so I can pray for you. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. In the name of the power of Jesus, Father, I ask by the Holy Spirit that from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings, the wings of the laser beams of light. And I ask these wings will go down into between the joints and the marrow and the cells, and let leukemia be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Let the liver be healed and the pancreas be healed and the gallbladder be healed in Jesus' mighty name, and the heart and lungs be made perfect and the backbone and spine moving to its perfect alignment in Jesus' name. Leukemia, diabetes be gone in Jesus' name. Nerve endings be healed in Jesus' name. Diabetic nerve pain stop. Pain stop in Jesus' name. Eyes see, ears hear, lame legs walk. Be healed. Arise. Take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise you, Father. Yes, we thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' Amen. Mighty name. Ooh, I feel his power. Yes. There. It's all over Amen. My arm there. Somebody got healed. You want to call and tell me that. That would be great, and I can pray for you. Now, remember that every Sunday, 5 p.m., we have the Word and Prayer here, and we record the radio program. On Wednesdays, we have the Word, and we pray for America, especially, and everything else on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. I teach another book. On Thursday, Scott comes, and from 12 to 2, we pray for the world and everybody, and we pray for you. Give us your prayer request, and we'll be praying during that time. Or you may call in or walk in. Don't forget to tell people about my radio program, Trumpet of Truth. You can get us on the net, WMIEFM.com, on demand. I have tons and tons of books from the Bible in there. Share that. That's your way to get the Word of God out. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy word is truth. Nothing is given for you to keep. So what you learn today, go and share it. When you share it, God will give you more. If you can ever learn that giving is the answer, not getting. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and my twin friend, Scott Merson, saying we love you. Thank you very much for listening. And we are praying for you. Some of you, we know your name. Some we do not. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Now, until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
hear you sing over. Your desires are mine the same. Bless me indeed. Open wide my horizons to share your name. Bless me indeed. Let your hand keep me from harm and pain. Bless me. Bless me. Lord, I cling to your heart. Your love is what I need. All great things come from.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no
worn and weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. Out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to